So we're talking about promises. When I was a kid, I don't know if you did this, high school, junior high, we made promises to each other all the time. There's this thing when you would be eating with your friends at a restaurant. If you get up from the table and you leave your drink, it was in danger, always. Because for some reason people thought, he's not there, let's pour salt in it. And that was the thing. And so I would get up from the table and say, don't pour salt in my drink. And they'd say, oh, we won't. Promise me. Okay, I wanted them to say, I promise, because if they didn't say I promise, they probably were going to do it anyways, right? And what I promise meant was, usually I'm not telling you the truth, but in this case, I promise, I'm assuring you it's going to happen. I'm going to tell the truth. Now, there was also many ways out of promises and different kinds. We had pinky promises, pinky swear. You might remember that one. It's like if you're really serious, you did the pinky promise. Some people, I see some junior high teachers shaking their heads. They know what I'm talking about. Okay, so we had the different promises. Then there are ways to get out of it, like, you know, crossing your fingers. I don't know why that means it's okay, but it's like, why did you put stuff in there? Oh, I crossed my fingers. It didn't count when I said I promised. So there was the get out of it. Did y'all know about that? Okay, are y'all awake? There is free coffee out there if there's a problem. But we had all that with different things, and I'm sure you did that, the promising. Some of you still do promises. You know, I promise this time, I really will. And so we've been talking about God's promises, and here's the thing. When you look in Scripture, you're not going to see God going, okay, this time I promise, okay? This time I mean I promise this time. So you're not going to see God go, I promise a lot, okay? Now, it does mention promises, but the reason is when God speaks, it's a sure thing. It's a promise every time he speaks. In fact, the definition of a promise is assurance that one will do a particular thing. So you're trying to get someone to promise you. You're like, I need some assurance beyond your normal word because your normal word's not good enough. But God doesn't lie. His normal word is assured. His normal word is good enough. So when he says, I will, or I'm going to do this thing, we call it a promise because it's assured. It's a sure thing. So we've been talking about the promises of God and the things that he said he will do, and that we can believe for and see happen in our lives. So a couple weeks ago, the pastor preached a message called God's Promise Will Outlast Your Problem. And the idea is that you're going to have problems, but there's a promise there. Now, by the way, there is no promise in the Bible that you'll never have problems, okay? If you believe that, you're going to get really messed up, okay? Because that's not a problem. In fact, the promise is that when we have trouble, Jesus has overcome the world, and we can lean on Jesus and overcome. Okay, that's the promise, not that there'll never be a trouble. So we need to know the promises. We need to have those. We know what they are so that we can get through our troubles and overcome our problems. And then last week was get the doubt out and believe. Okay, if you want to see God move, you've got to believe. You've got to know what they are, what his promises are, and you've got to believe on his promises. You've got to get rid of the doubt. I'm not going to re-preach those. There's some online if you missed them. Okay, so go check those out and we'll talk about it. So I want to keep talking about how to experience the promises of God, how to live in the blessings of God. If you like a message title, you can call it Positioned for a Promise. We want to be positioned in our life to receive what God has for us. Or maybe positioned for a blessing. You want to be in the right place to receive the blessings that God has for you. So positioned for a promise. Now, the reason I think that's important is because oftentimes there is a gap between what God says I could be experiencing, should be experiencing, and what I actually am in my life. So, for example, I'll just give you an example of something Jesus said. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And then Paul said something about that in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, you may go, okay, this peace that goes beyond understanding is the peace of Jesus. That is something that I should have. But I am so stressed out, right? I can't sleep at night. I'm taking pills. I am so stressed out. There is a gap between the peace that Jesus says he's going to give me and the stress that I'm experiencing in my life. What we want to do is close that gap because there's a promise of peace, right? So how do we want to get positioned in the same place as his promise. Let me give you some more examples. How about this one? 1 Corinthians 13:10 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, and he's going to provide a way out for it. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free. So here's this thing, we're supposed to be free, and yet you're looking at your life and going, but I can't seem to get free. I can't seem to overcome that temptation. I've been struggling with it for years. I always get angry and just start yelling. I always deal with the same lust, the same problem, the same addiction. And there's this gap, right? There's a gap between what we just read, you're called to be free, and what you see in your life. We want to close the gap. We want to close the gap. I'm going to just give you a couple more. Jesus said, John 16:24, ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. Is your joy complete? See, because here Jesus said, complete joy. And some of you have not smiled in 2018, okay? Like, we're almost to 2019. Smile, your face will feel better. Just try, okay? Yeah, your joy, Jesus said, complete joy, and here's you. Why is there such a gap? Let's close the gap, okay? Let's close the gap and experience the joy. One more, Malachi 3:10. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You say, okay, he's pouring out his blessings and meeting all my needs, and I can see my negative bank account. Like, what is this? There's a gap. We want to learn how to close the gap. We want to get positioned for the promise, for to be in the blessed place. In fact, when I'm talking about being positioned for the promise, I believe that that is living in the blessed place. We want to get into the place where God is blessing, where we are experiencing his promises. We were experiencing. So I'm a youth pastor. If you hadn't caught on, I do visuals every message, pretty much. Okay, and so they've seen this one before, but I'm not that creative. So I want to talk about being in the blessed place. So this is you, okay? I didn't clean it very good. Sorry, it needs a bath. This is you, and we want to be in the place where God is blessing. Now, God is a blesser. He blesses. That's what he does, okay? He wants to bless you. He is pouring out blessings. So the key to receiving the blessings is to be in the right place because God is blessing, okay? Is that bothering you? God is blessing. We need to be in the blessed place because as long as I'm over here, I'm not receiving the blessing. Blessed place, not receiving. He's blessing. I want to be in the blessed place. Now, some of you, that is really bothering you that I poured that water all over the ground. You know what really bothers me? When people are missing out on the blessings of God in their life, and I'm seeing them struggle and strive and never get in places. And so we want to be in the blessed place because he's blessing. When I'm over here, I'm not getting that. So we need to position ourselves to receive the blessing that he is giving. Some of you, it's just bothering you that the floor is wet. I have a towel. I have a fan later. Don't worry about it, okay? I got it all figured out. So we want to be in the blessed place. We're going to look at a simple principle from God's Word. And simple does not mean easy, but it is a simple principle from God's Word that applies really to all of our life and is the key for us to be in the blessed place. And we're going to look at something that Jesus said. It was a little conversation in the middle of a message that he was giving. He gives us this just amazing little teaching. It's in Luke chapter 11. It says, Jesus was saying these things, and a woman in the crowd called out. Now, just to kind of give you an image here. Here's Jesus. He is preaching. I mean, the words of life coming out of his mouth. And somebody just randomly yells from the crowd, which I find kind of funny. Like, Jesus, like, I'm teaching here, okay? But anyway, so he's saying these things, and a woman called out, blessed is the mother who gave birth to you and nursed you. Now, I don't know what was going on in her life that made her do that. I imagine things in the Bible. Like, I imagine that her kids were there, right? And they're all misbehaving, and they were on the way to church that morning, and they fought the whole way, you know. That. Do you think Jesus' mother had to put up with this? Blessed is your mom, okay? That's just, it just came out of her, right? And so she yells that to him, and I'm glad that she did because Jesus gives us this amazing, amazing statement. He says, he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. How do we get into the blessed place? He says, blessed rather those who hear the word of God and obey it. I think a lot of people are like the woman. They say, well, if I had you as a son, I would be blessed. Oh, if I had their income, I would be blessed. If I had their job, if I had their family, if I had their talents, if I had their, then I could be blessed. No. You don't. This is what you need to be blessed, he says. You got to hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. But before we go on, I want to just talk about blessed really quick. Because what does it mean to be blessed? I mean, is it like Christian luck? Is that all it really is? Like, you know, if you're not a Christian and something good happens to you, you go, oh man, I was so lucky, right? But if you're a Christian, you got to say, I'm so blessed. Is that the only difference? Is it something we say when we sneeze? I don't even know why we say it when we sneeze, okay? But what does it mean to be blessed? Now, there's a lot of ways, definitions I've kind of seen and all that. I'm just going to give you one that I work from and kind of like, and here's what it means to be blessed. To be blessed means to be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. It means that I am receiving, here we go, we got the favor of God, okay, and I'm on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. I'm receiving the blessings from God, the tangible. Tangible are things you can touch. You can touch, if you can poke it, it's tangible, okay? The person next to you, they're tangible. You can touch them. If you can smell it, it's tangible. Some of your smell was a little too tangible, right, for the person next to you, maybe. I don't know. Have you ever sat next to that person in church? Like, okay. So tangible, it's something that you can see, touch. I want you to understand something. Matter, things that you can touch, matters to God. The things in your life, the physical things, matter to God, and He blesses those things and put His favor on those things. And we want His favor on the tangibles in our life. But it's not just tangible, it's intangible. In fact, in some ways, the intangible is maybe even more important. Let me tell you what, love is not tangible. You can't touch love or smell it, but it's there, right? Joy is not necessarily tangible. I can't see it with my eyes. I mean, I might see the result of it. Okay, but I can't see joy. I can't see peace. But those are things that He blesses. He puts His favor on. So we want His blessings on those things in our life. So to be blessed is to be on the receiving end. It's receiving from Him the tangible and intangible favor of God. And we'll talk about this word favor. Favor. Have you ever gotten favor from somebody? Like you experienced favor? I was voted teacher's pet in high school, which meant the teachers liked me, okay? I got favor. I can remember many times experiencing favor. Like I was taking a test and in Spanish class, multiple choice, and the teacher walks down the aisle, and know how they walk back and forth, like checking you. And she looks down and she stops and she goes, she tapped one of the numbers and I erased it and circled another one. She goes, I raised it, circled another one. She goes, And I didn't see her do it for anybody else. I don't know, just some favor, okay? I had favor. When I was in college, I experienced the best favor, okay? Now, I ate in the cafeteria because that was the cheapest way to eat, and it was cafeteria food, okay? It was not good food, okay? It was just like high school food. They had, like, different lines, and none of it was good. And so every now and then, though, they would have something. They would cook this fried chicken, and they knew how to cook. It was good fried chicken. So fried chicken day was like the most popular day in the cafeteria. So I remember I walked up, and it said on the big sign all the gross things, and then it said fried chicken. I was like, yes, fried chicken day. And I go in there, and there's four different lines. Only one line has fried chicken. The fried chicken line is about 30 minutes long, and there's no one in any other line. I don't even have 30 minutes till my next class. So I go, and I come over to the casserole line, which is, oh, that looks like what I had yesterday, but different. Okay. Anyway, so I went over to the line, and there's a lady named Miss Stella. Now, the lunch ladies don't get a lot of love, okay, in a place like that. But every single day, I would see Miss Stella, and I would say, "Hey, Miss Stella, how are you doing?" And she would smile back and tell me how she was doing, and so she started to look forward to seeing me. So I walk up to the casseroles, and she goes, "What you want, baby?" And I'm looking, going, nothing. And I said, I really wanted that fried chicken, but I don't have time to wait in the line today. And she goes, "You just hold on, baby." And she goes over to the other line, and she comes back with two plates of fried chicken and goes, "Here you go, baby." And she gave me I got a double portion of fried chicken. I was in some favor, okay? So here's my question. How do we get into the double portion fried chicken favor of God in our life, okay? We want to be in that kind of favor with God, and we want to live in His favor. You can live in His favor. In fact, let me just, one more thing about favor, okay? If I was to say I was a Burlesonite, that means I reside in Burleson, okay? I live in Burleson. So if I was to say favorite, okay? Now, you think favorite, I'm God's favorite, doesn't mean I'm like He likes me better than you, okay? But let's say it like this, I can reside in God's favor. I can live my life in the favor of God. Are you living your life in the favor of God? Are you living your life in the blessed place? Are you living your life in the promises of God? We can live in His promises. We can live in His favor. Blessed we can be. We can live in the blessed place. So how do we do it? Jesus, we'll go back to what Jesus said. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Hear the word of God. Now, I'm not going to really talk much about hearing the word because you need to just go back and listen to the last 2 weeks. You need to know what God's promises are if you're going to believe on them and receive them. You've got to hear them. You've got to know them. If we don't hear them, you can't receive them. So you got to hear them. You got to know what they are. So he says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. We have to obey what we hear. If we don't take that step, that action to our faith, we're not going to see the promises of God. Hearing does not equal believing. We got to hear and we got to believe. We got to get, that's not all. We have to obey. Our believing should drive us to action. Our believing should drive us to doing something. So we need to obey. We need to do what he has asked us to do. I think the best way maybe to understand this is to just illustrate it and show it to you, show you an example. So I'm going to just look at a verse I read at the beginning of the message, Philippians 4:7. And let's just see how this plays out in our life. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Now, do you have the peace of God on your life, or is there a gap? Let's look at the verse before, okay? We're going to understand this. The verse before says, do not be anxious about anything. We don't have to be worried and anxious and stressed about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, here we go. I can hear that. I can hear that there's a peace of God is available to me that goes beyond understanding. When I'm stressed out, I can hear that. I can even believe that there is a peace of God. But if I do not, let me go back. If I do not, in that moment of stress and anxiety, go before the Lord in prayer and petition and give him thanks, guess what I'm not going to experience? That. And that I'm not going to get to have that because I'm not doing what he said. I believe that there's peace, but I'm not going to actually get before him and say, Father, I need you right now. Thank you for what you've done. And just begin to pray and give petition and give thanksgiving to God. It's through that I heard it. I believe that it's there. I believe that it's true. And then I obey. I've got to obey. I've got to do what he has said or I'm not going to receive it. You hear it. I heard what he said and I believe it. And I do it. If I don't hear it, I can't believe it. If I don't believe it, then I can't do it. But I've got to hear it. Well, let's just say it, okay? I've got to hear it, believe it, and obey it. It's pretty simple. I hear God's word, I believe God's word, and I do God's word. I hear God's promises, I believe God's promises, and I obey the conditions to those promises. I hear it, I believe it, I obey it. Now, y'all help me out. Can y'all say it with me? Can we say it? Okay, here we go. Ready? Hear it, believe it, obey it. Let's do it again. Ready? Hear it, believe it, obey it. How do I get into the blessed place? I hear it, believe it, obey it. How do I live in the promises of God? I
hear it, believe it, obey it.
Yeah, so you've got. Now, that seems simple, and it's not easy, but it is simple. That's what I've got to do. I need to hear it, believe it, obey it. See, many people are living outside of God's blessings, and there's a breakdown somewhere. Maybe you haven't heard it, and you didn't know that there's a promise. You didn't know what God said about your situation, and so there was no chance for these. But for many, they do. They've heard it, and the breakdown is here. They never believed. They never believed. Maybe that was just for back then. That was for a different time. That was for somebody else. My experience tells me otherwise or whatever. For whatever the reason is, they haven't believed it. But some, that's not the breakdown. They've heard it. They believe it. But they've never taken a step in their faith. So here's the thing. No faith, no belief, you can't have the promises. But the same is true about dead faith. Dead faith does not get you to the blessing of God either. There is such thing as dead faith. Jesus' brother said there was in James 2:17, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. He said there's going to be action to your faith. You believe, there's going to be action to it. There's going to be steps that you take. There's going to be obedience. And then you'll begin to see the blessings in your life. You will begin to move, if you will, into the promises of God by real faith that has action. So, I'll give you an example of this from somebody down here, AJ. He doesn't mind if I share. I've shared it before. So a few months ago, or earlier this year, actually, he came to me and he said, I need to do something about my finances because they're a mess. And they were a mess. I made him bring everything and we looked at it. And I was like, this is a mess. And so I think you were like 20 when we started. And he was like $1,500 in credit card debt and owed a bunch of money to his family and barely getting by. I mean, his car was ghetto. Okay, it was bad. Okay, I remember it was 115 degrees outside. He had no air conditioner, and it could not be repaired for less than the cost of the car. Okay, and it was not good. It broke down all the time. It was a terrible situation. He was financially not going, and it was going backwards, going further into debt when we first met. And so what we did was we said, okay, well, let's see what God's word says about this. And so we begin to look at how you handle your finances according to God's word. So we read about tithing and giving. We read about saving for winter, like it talks about how we should save for winter, okay? And we talked about then you can live off the rest. So I taught him this principle. I've taught before in the youth. He's heard it before, by the way. He had heard it. He just didn't believe it or do it. But give, save, live, okay? You give first, then you save, and then you live off the rest. And so we began doing that. Now, here he is. He's in debt, going further into debt. And the first thing I say is, okay, now give 10% first. Well, I don't have 10%. So we had to do some rearranging and no more Starbucks and then, you know, kind of changing some things up and rearranging the way he did his life. And then, so it doesn't make sense to give when you're backwards, okay? That's not the world's way, but he started to do that. And he started putting some savings and he found a way to live off of the rest of it. And then within a few months, it was absolutely amazing. Just a few months later, less than 6 months, he was completely out of debt and going in the other direction and used to pay for school little at a time and then have some, you know, whatever. And now it pays its beginning. In fact, after this, then all of a sudden this favor started pouring out. Got, I think, 2 raises since then, a scholarship that paid for all of school. I mean, it was amazing. Just all this, all of a sudden, blessing. Now, he would tell you he believes, hear it, believe it, obey it. 100%. I heard what God said. I believed it, even though it didn't make sense, and I obeyed it, and all of a sudden he sees the blessings of God in his life. So my question, will you hear, will you believe, and then obey? Where's your breakdown? For many of us, it's somewhere right in here. You've heard, because, I mean, you're here. If you're new to church, I tell you what, there's a lot you get to learn. There's a lot of promises that God has for you. You need to hear. But for most of us, the breakdown is in here somewhere. I either don't believe it, or I'm not willing to take a step to actually live it out, to actually do it. We have to hear it, believe it, and obey it. Now, I do want to make sure we understand that when I'm talking about obedience, I'm not talking about I earn God's blessings, like God owes me because I did. And that is a wrong attitude that we can have. Like, well, you know, I tithe, now he owes me this, okay? I did this, now he owes me. That isn't the attitude. That is the wrong attitude to have. The attitude that we have is, I'm going to obey you because you're my King and my Lord, and I love you, and I thank you for the things that you're doing in my life. When that's my attitude, I'm obeying him because I love him, and I know that he loves me, then I'm in the blessed place, okay? So we don't obey to get, to obey to do that. We obey because we love him, and that puts us into his blessings. And it's not that we're earning. Let me just give you a couple examples. So Peter in Luke chapter 5 was fishing, didn't catch anything, goes to the side, and Jesus says, hey, go, I'll just read it to you. When he finished preaching, Jesus said to Simon, this is Luke 5:4, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And so he does, and then he catches so many fish, the boat's about to sink, okay? It's an incredible blessing that God gave for a fisherman, right, that he would catch so much. Now, what is Peter's attitude? Man, I did exactly what he said. Now, I deserved this fish. No, that's not his attitude. Let me show you what Peter said, Luke 5:8. When Simon Peter saw this, the fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Did he feel like he earned it? No, he just obeyed. He didn't earn all that blessing. He just did what God had told him to do. We're not earning it. We're just obeying and then letting him do his thing in our life, letting him guide and bless and direct. Jesus goes to a blind man one time and says, hey, go wash in that pool. And so he goes and he takes a bath and he gets healed. Did taking a bath earn his blindness, earn his healing? No, it was just obedience. When we obey, we are blessed. We're not earning it. We're just obeying the Lord and doing what he has said. Here, I'll make sure that one of the teenagers remembers this, okay? Do you want to remember this? She's thinking, I just want to not be embarrassed on Sunday morning. That would be good. Okay, hold out your hand. $5. Okay, all right, easy as $5. Okay, now, did she earn that? No. All she did was just do what I asked, okay? And I blessed. This is what God does in our life. Just do what he asks. Just obey and then trust for the blessing. He will bless you. All we do is obey. We're not earning. We just, here you go, here I go, I'm going to do what you say, and he will bless. He's a blesser. So you're holding out your, I'm out. Okay. Come back next service and sit right there. Okay, that's what to do. Okay. We want to be blessed. We have to hear it. We have to obey it. We have to do it. Now, we're talking about putting ourselves into the blessed place and experiencing the promises of God. And I do just want to point out something maybe a little off, but really similar. Jesus said that if you hear and obey, then you're blessed. I do want you to just think about this and realize this, that when we are disobedient, we pull ourselves out of his blessings. And you can see this in your life. Can you remember a time when you did stupid things and it made a mess, right? And you were in a mess financially, relationally, whatever this mess was, and it was because of the sin in your life. And it was you. What you did, the mess was not God's blessing, was it? The mess was a result of our sin. Now, I got good news. When you find yourself in sin and in a mess, you just, this is what you do. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. I repent of my sins, and you go back to him, and you're going to find that he doesn't go, well, why don't you just sit out there for a little while and remember what you did, okay? No, he welcomes you back, and he will welcome you right back into the blessed place because he's a loving Heavenly Father. But when we are disobedient, when we are outside of his commands, there's going to be mess. That there's a reason those are there. In fact, when you realize that his commands are there because he loves you, you will love his commands. It will be very easy for you to hear, believe, and obey once you realize that. And so we want to be in his commands. We want to be in his promises. We got to hear, believe, and obey. So I want to end with a passage, and it's not going to be short, but talk about Abraham, okay? Now, we've talked a lot about Abraham in this series, because Abraham's the father of faith, and kind of like the beginning of all of these promises and things that we've been talking about. So there's this amazing story. I'm just going to kind of recap it for you. So, you know, Abraham couldn't have a son, his wife couldn't have a son, and God promised that they would, and after 25 years, they have a son, and and then the boy grows up, and it says, I'm just going to read this. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. So he loved his son. He finally got his promised son. And go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So God says, I want you to take this son whom you love, who is now grown up some, and I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice him. So sacrifice was this. Basically, back then they would go and they would take an animal, they would build an altar, they would put wood on it, they would kill the animal, put the animal on there and burn it as a sacrifice to God. And this is what he says, I want you to go do that to your son. And Abraham goes, okay. And so he gets his son, and they travel to this place, and they're going along, and he makes his son carry the wood, which that's kind of ironic to me, but anyways, he says, here, son, carry this wood. And he's carrying the fire and the knife. And they travel to the place, and somewhere along the way, his son goes, hey, Dad, where's the animal? And Abraham's like, oh, God will provide. Don't ask me about that. Okay. And so they keep going on up, and they get up to the place, and they build this altar, and they put the wood on, and then he starts tying up his son. He binds him up, and I don't know if Isaac talked, but I mean, I probably wouldn't. Hey, Dad, what are we doing? Well, why are you tying me up? Oh, it's this new thing God wants us to do. Don't worry about it. Okay. And so he ties him up, puts him on the altar, right? And again, I don't know if Isaac said anything or if he just laid there. Maybe he's a real good boy. Maybe he was like you would probably do. Oh, clean, I promise my room will be much better from now on. But I don't know what all he said. But so here he goes. He's got his son on the altar. He picks up the knife, it says, and then the angel of the Lord appears and says, Abraham, stop. Stops him and says, then provides a lamb instead or a ram instead so that he could sacrifice that. And then I want you to hear what the Lord said to him. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. By the way, you need to find humor in the Bible. It's all through there. Did you hear what he just said? Have you ever heard somebody say, I swear to God? Okay, which you shouldn't do. That's taking the Lord's name of it. I swear to God. Listen to what he says. I swear by myself. Like, who am I going to swear by? Myself. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And listen to this. And through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Why? Because you have obeyed me. Because of his obedience, that happened. Now he said, through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So you've got Abraham, and then he has kid and kids and kids, grandkid, 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 no. A long ways down, and all of a sudden there's a girl named Mary who gives birth to Jesus. And I would say that all the nations of the earth have been blessed through his offspring, through Jesus, right? And so that was fulfilled through him, and that was part of it. Now, this is cool. I don't know if you thought about this. Up in heaven, if I was Abraham, this is what I would do. I'd be like, you know who my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson is? Who? He's the King of Kings, Lord of Kings. He's right over there. That's him right there. Hey, you know who my great-great-great is? Right over there, okay? That's what I mean. His forever, all eternity, his great-great-whatever-grandson is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What a cool thing. Why? Because he obeyed. And he experienced the promises of God and the blessings of God in his life. So there's three things Abraham did. It's going to be shocking to you. He heard. He heard what God wanted him to do. And I think a lot of times we don't experience the promises, the blessings of God in our life because we don't hear. He may be speaking to you and you're not listening. If God wanted to speak to you, would there ever be a time in your day when he could? Or are you so busy that you never could hear? We need to have time when we can hear from him, whether that's reading our word or just sitting before him and saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Lord, speak to me. He wants to speak to you. He is speaking to you. Can you hear it? If we will hear from him, we'll be able to experience his promises and his blessings. He heard. He believed. He believed the promise of God. See, God had already told him that this son was going to was his son, the promise. And he knew, in fact, it tells us that he believed that if he sacrificed him, God was just going to raise him from the dead. He just believed. He just obeyed. He just believed. He knew it was going to happen. Have you believed? Are you having trouble believing in some promise of God? We need to believe. We have to believe. If we don't believe, we won't be able to receive these promises. He heard, he believed, he obeyed. He obeyed what God told him to do, even to sacrifice his own son. He obeyed. Here it is. He hear, believe, obey. We have to hear, we have to believe, we have to obey. When we do that, you will begin to experience and see the promises of God in your life. So is there a breakdown for you? Let me ask it this way. Is there a gap in your life right now? Is somewhere in your life there a gap? A gap of peace. He says, peace, I have stress. Joy. He says, joy, I'm depressed. Where's the gap? Is there a gap in your life somewhere? It's time to close the gap. Let's move into the blessed place. Let's move into that. Let's be positioned to receive the promises that he has for us and believe for those things. And so we always end our services with prayer. When two agree together, he moves, right? We want to pray for you and believe for you. So I'm going to ask you to hear, believe, and obey. If there's a gap, let's ask. That's a step. That's an obedience. That's hear, believing, and obeying. Let's ask somebody to pray with you about whatever is your gap and believe that that's going to begin to close. You're going to begin to move into where God has for you in every area of your life and live in that. So in just a moment, we're all going to stand and there's going to be people down here to pray with you. We're going to sing part of a song. And during that time, if you have any gaps in your life, that's when you need to come down and say, would you pray for me? We do it every week. It's not unusual. It's not weird. We don't embarrass you. We just pray with you and believe that God's going to move in your life. So if you have a gap, I want to tell you, pray. Hear, believe, obey. And let's see God begin to move and close those gaps in your life. Father, I ask that you would just draw every person this morning that needs you. I pray that you would help us to get rid of doubt in our life and really believe. And Lord, and show us how that we need to obey you and live in your promises and in the blessed place in our life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's stand together. Our prayer partners are coming forward right now. And if you want prayer, just step out from where you are. Don't hesitate. Come down. They'll be down here when you get here ready to pray with you. Let's sing part of a song together. And if you need prayer for anything, come forward and let's just believe together.